This fall, Larry Sharp is hoping to appear on the general election ballot in New York for his second consecutive bid to secure the executive mansion on behalf of the state's Libertarian Party. And the businessman and Marine veteran joins us to discuss the process of getting on the ballot and why he's running. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yes, it is an insane process.
Well, we're definitely going to get to the process. But first, why are you running to be governor right now?
Oh, my God. Did you see what's happening in our state? We are literally losing hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers every single year. I talked about this in 2018. It was the number one issue in 2018. It's the number one issue now after the COVID and the lockdowns, even more are leaving. And we have the same situation. We have a situation where the Democrats actually dominate the state so much that the Democrats don't have to make any change, don't have to have good ideas. And Republicans have no chance of victory, so they don't have to either. So I have a situation right now where the Democrats are the party of bad ideas, and the Republicans are the party of no ideas. So someone's got to be in here to give some answers and some ideas, and more importantly, to get people back engaged. There are so many New Yorkers who are just thinking, why bother? And they're waiting for either their daughter or son to graduate, or their elderly parent to pass away, or for them to retire so they can pack up and move to Florida or Tennessee or Texas. I want to stop it. I wanted to stop it 4 years ago. It's only gotten worse. So I have to run now. I can't run as a Republican or Democrat. If I run as a Democrat, the establishment will crush me. If I run as a Republican, there's no chance of victory. The Republican who's telling you he's going to win is either lying to you or delusional. We are 3-1 in the state, Democrat to Republican. If we can't create a coalition candidate to make some change in this state, there's no chance for change. Democrats have been running this state for 20 years. Republicans have been watching them, and no one has a plan and no one's fixed it. That's why I'm running. And that's why I'm running as an independent third party libertarian. Also, by the way, backed by the Forward Party, Andrew Yang's party. So I've got all sides here. They know the answer is third party.
You mentioned that issue of out-migration. What is the fix to this trend, which is something that we have been seeing for decades in New York? This is not something that's new to New York.
Absolutely.
We've been losing congressional seats for decades.
Yeah, we've lost about over 2 million people in about 10 years. So that's entire states just packed up and left. That's
and just to be clear, though, that's not a net loss of 2 million people necessarily, right?
No, it's about that. Yeah, a lot. Remember, we used to have 20 million people in New York State. Now we're under 18 now. There used to be, remember, we used to have more population than Florida, no more. So yes, that is a net loss of 2 million people, correct. Some people say, the problem is we can't be sure with the lockdowns. A lot of people who have left are still registered here in New York, also have a home here in New York, but they're not coming back. So that is what, who knows, 100,000, 200,000, I don't know what that number is. So yes, we have net lost 2 million people. We've gone from over 20 to under 18. That is over 2 million gone. There are three aspects you have to worry about. Three, one, affordability. Two, safety. Three, opportunity. If we focus on those three with actual ways of making that work, you will see things change. What I talk about constantly, because our budget is so bloated, it's gone from what, 180 billion to now 220 billion, which by the way, I called last year what the budget would be and I was right exactly to the number. So I knew it would be that big. And we've still lost in the past year or two since the lockdowns, about 500,000 people, give or take. Who knows how many will come back. So we're losing bodies and raising our budget. That's unsustainable. The biggest piece is to create some way of raising money other than taxation. And what I've talked about is creating a special New York State social trust, similar to what's being done in Singapore right now, Norway, that kind of thing, but separate from the government, a separate business that is overseen by the government with a very specific charter to help pay for certain things in New York State. There are countries right now where their sovereign funds will pay up to 20% of their entire budget. If we begin to build it out within the first 4 years, we can make massive changes in New York State. The first one being, we can have the NIST actually pay for school tax. If it pays for school tax immediately, school tax goes away and property taxes cut about in half across this state. When that happens, number one, it becomes more affordable. Now young people can stay here because rents will stabilize. Not just that, our elderly can stay because I want our retirees to spend their pensions in New York State, not spending them in Florida. You earned it. Awesome. Now spend it here, but we're sending them away. But not just that. Now, once that happens, more schools will get more money directly from this fund, which means we don't have to worry about local people asking the state government for more cash. It will come directly from the trust, more control locally, better school districts, more control locally. good, good, and good, giving more opportunity and, of course, better schooling and, of course, more affordability. That right there is a big deal. But then we can keep going. If we keep going with this, we then can make it to the point where we can end our state income tax. And I mean, remove it. I'm talking about removing two taxes that are hurting people the most, which makes things much more affordable. When that happens, more businesses will stay, which will create more opportunity. You start doing that, people start staying. I will judge my first 4 years by one metric. Did I stop the bleeding? And here's what I would ask anyone listening. Even though you may love or hate or not care about the ideas I just gave you, please ask your Democrat or Republican what their ideas are. They are non-existent. They have no policy, no ideas. They're just yelling at each other, calling each other bad. If you go to LarrySharp.com, you will see policies to solve the problems in New York State. If you don't like them, reach out to me. We'll talk about it. We'll make better policies, but we will start talking about policies and solutions, not just other guy bad.
Well, the state budget, the $220 billion plan you referenced earlier for this year, largely is the result of spending on healthcare and education.
Yep.
Do we need to spend less on those two areas?
We have been spending more and more on education for the past 20 years, and our education right now in New York State is a steaming pile of garbage. And I will say to anyone there, a steaming pile of garbage. If you were in Rochester and you're a Black male, what are your odds of graduating high school? I think it's under 20% now. We have some of the worst schools in the entire nation. So we keep throwing more money at it, yet we keep coming back with terrible results. I talked back in the day about back when I ran in 2018 about changing the entire system from K through 12 to K through 10, supporting kids going into prep school so they're ready for college, so they have less college debt, and supporting kids going to trade schools so they can actually be trades and make money here in the state, so they're not always leaving and going someplace else, and supporting kids going to associate's degrees off the bat, the real smart, crazy smart ones, so they want to become a doctor or lawyer, they get a head start on life and they can stay in this state. That's what I was talking about in 2018. I'm still talking about that. And with my plan, now it's pre-K through 10, we can do it for less money and have better outcomes. Yes, we're spending too much money. You can't, this is the issue. Republicans will say, well, there is no problem. Democrats will say, throw more money at it. They're both wrong. I'm giving you an actual plan to shift our system from a K through 12 model to a pre-K through 10 model that will give kids, teachers, and parents more flexibility, more opportunity to stay in this state.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Larry Sharp, who's hoping to run as the gubernatorial candidate this fall for the state's Libertarian Party. So I want to rewind a bit, and I'm curious, if you had won the executive mansion in 2018, what would your pandemic response have looked like? Because I'm curious how someone from a libertarian perspective would respond to a public health emergency, something that would traditionally require a very hands-on, aggressive government approach, at least the way we traditionally think about public health.
Absolutely not true. Sweden is the perfect example of this. So that idea, you're right, is thought of and incorrect. And literally, I knew this would come up. And I've been doing so much I told you so. For those of you who already follow me, you've been watching me. I'm literally showing clips from 2020 of what I said to do and how it would have been better in everything. I have so much, I told you so. I knew this would happen. So what did I do? In 2020 of March, I put out, I think, 6 videos. And for those of you who care, you can go to my YouTube page, Larry Sharp. It's a separate playlist that tells you exactly what I would have done. And I put it out over 2 years ago, knowing I would be right, knowing what the government would do and how it would screw it all up. So I have the receipts, as they say. Let me tell you generally what you do. When you are a government, the second you create rules and start punishing people, people rebel. So what do? You create trust. The first thing you do is you become transparent. Here is what the government believes we should do to make things right. Also, here is what other people believe is true to make things right. You might go, Larry, that's spreading disinformation. No, that's not the case. It's spreading information that lets people actually trust you. You notice how we keep trying to fight disinformation, yet it keeps growing? Because human nature says, if you're hiding it from me, it must be right. That's what's hurting us. More transparency is a good thing, which some people have done the wrong thing, of course, but they're doing it in droves now. So someone at the upfront realized it doesn't work with transparency and gone to things that do work. But more importantly, if I would have shown them what was happening and given them what I thought was correct, I would have been wrong in certain cases because the government wasn't right in everything, right? So as the government made mistakes and said, wait a minute, this is not true, this is not right. Being transparent and not forcing people, I can change and say, you know what? We've now learned this is going to work better. And people would have trusted us a whole lot more than they do now. But I'm still not done. What I would have done is specifically, now specifics, would have said is, here is what the government thinks is correct for your business and for your home and everything. And if you want, I'll send out inspectors. And if the inspectors see that you're following the government guidelines, they will give you a star. Here you go. Here's your government star. But they will not shut you down. The community should be deciding on what is working and what's not working. But Larry, people will die. Tens of thousands already did die. That's the issue. This dystopian idea is what actually happened. But if you would have done my view, within 1 or 2 months, we would have seen what's actually working. The communities would have trusted it, and they would have done it on their own without me forcing. Our then Governor Cuomo lied to us and said, oh, I trusted New Yorkers to do the right thing. No, you didn't. Why'd you make it a mandate? But I'm still not done. Why in the world didn't we immediately rescind all of our rules and regulations on hospitals, hospital beds, and doctors? We did not. We have a system to where doctors couldn't come here into the biggest city in the entire country. Immediately rescind them, let doctors come, support us in New York City. We were getting destroyed. I live in New York City. It was horrible, and they couldn't get people here. And why would you want to use the National Guard for doctors? The National Guard, they're already doctors. They already have jobs. What the National Guard should do is build out hospitals. That's what they're good at. That's what I said. Let the National Guard build out mobile hospitals and let doctors and nurses come from other states to come help out the largest city in the nation. We didn't do that. I'm still not done. Why didn't we immediately get rid of any rules for 3D printing so that people could make their own tests, people could make their own respirators and do it and then sell it if they wanted to, as long as we were transparent? Why? The first tests were all bad. Remember that, how bad the first tests were? And the ones that we actually could make were actually the right ones, but we were stopped for 3 months.
The ones in New York were fine.
No, the ones that were coming from the CDC.
The ones that came from the Wadsworth lab were fine. And we had to unpack a bunch that you said there. So are you saying that Sweden's model was correct? Because
it was a better model.
So Sweden had a much higher COVID death rate than the surrounding Nordic nations and was also faulted for not being transparent with its population. So why should that be the model we hold up?
Yes, it was a better model. It wasn't perfect. There's no
doubt. But it wasn't better than the ones countries around it that took a more aggressive government regulated approach.
No, there's two things in this. One, the overall death rates, if you look at them in the Nordic countries,
Sweden had a higher COVID death rate than the surrounding Nordic nations.
Okay.
And then I also want to rewind to the census
number. Can I answer the question?
No, because I'm pointing it out for the listeners who also need to realize that New York census population in 2020 was over 20 million. So while we lost people, we still grew. We just didn't grow as fast as other states. So I don't really know what this 2 million net loss number comes from.
Hold on. Right now, New York State's population officially is like 19 million or something like that officially.
The 2021 updated estimates, but you were talking about the census numbers.
Yes.
And that's the 2020, which had over 20 million people.
I said over the past 10 years.
So that would mean that we had 22 million people in 2010 and that our population declined?
Yes, we're losing population.
But it's also being replaced though by people, because New York had a population of 19.387 million in 2010. So our population grew from 2010 to 2020, even though we did lead the country or come near the top in terms of out-migration, but we also have more people coming in and more people being born in New York State. I guess the reason I'm harping on this is, do you think...
Please harp on it. I don't have a problem. Harp on it, please.
Do you think that it brings a credibility question to your argument if, say, something like population of New York State is something that's incorrectly being shared by you?
Well, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
And the reason why is if you simply go out and talk to people, as I do literally daily, and every single room I go into, I ask a very important question. I say, who here knows someone who has left? Every hand goes up. Who here in this room is considering leaving? 2/3 to 3/4 of the hands go up. As everyone tells me this, as data I see that is not the census tells me this, I see it from Fortune magazine, I see it from Reason magazine, I see these numbers from everything other than the census, and I see it from everyone I'm talking to. Is it possible I'm off? Maybe, but ask New Yorkers. They think I don't know enough. They always tell me more are leaving. Now, they don't have data either, but let's say I'm 100% wrong. If every single New Yorker or a huge chunk of them believe I'm right, we have a bigger problem. So either I'm incorrect and New York thinks I'm correct, or I am correct and New York thinks I'm correct. Either way, this is a problem.
So I want to pivot back to something you mentioned at the top, which was the process of getting on the ballot. Can you talk about what that's been like in 2022 compared to 2018?
Oh my God.
And how are you feeling heading into the, I think what, May 31st deadline for collecting the 45,000 valid signatures you need to get on the November election ballot?
Absolutely. So the worst part about this is, if you look at what they did to us, in 2018, I had to get 15,000 signatures in, I think, 10 weeks, if I'm mistaken, I think it was 10 weeks. And we did it, and they get 50,000 votes in the election, which we did. Absolutely. We got both. And of course, anyone would think, well, that means for 4 years, right? Because the governor's election is every 4 years. Iowa ballot access for 4 years. New York State, in the middle of it, just said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to change the rules literally during the COVID lockdowns and say, you now have to get 45,000 signatures. They tripled the signatures, shortened the time period to 6 weeks, moved it into the spring where there aren't summer festivals and where there's still snowstorms, and said, good luck during COVID. And we said, whoa, come on. First off, you can't renege. You gave me 4 years. They went, well, I didn't specifically say 4 years, so too bad. I said, plus you tripled it during COVID in the spring. They went, we don't care. We want New York State to pay for elections. So that's going to be too expensive if we have too many candidates, so you don't get to be on. I'm not joking. That was actually, if you do the homework on that, the judge actually said that. Not in those words, but he basically said, too expensive. No. So they just screwed us over. So we lost ballot access in 2020, and I'm fighting for it again. And now I'm doing it again, even though I should have it. I played by the rules. I got screwed over, and they don't want me on the ballot so much, they've changed nothing. We've sued them again, saying, how can you do this? It's unfair. Courts don't care. So I am right now making one more lawsuit, trying to make this work, because as you know, they've ended the congressional districts. And according to New York State law, I'm supposed to get 500 signatures at least from half of the congressional districts. Well, there are none. It is literally impossible for me to do this. And this is right now petition time.
Isn't that based on the existing maps though? Or
yes, but you can't use existing maps because we had 27. Now we have 26.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So right now we literally have nothing. So I don't know what districts I'm sending my petitioners to. So literally right now it is impossible to do that because I don't know where to send my petitioners to make sure I'm in the right districts because there are no districts. I'm hoping that this will finally allow them to give us some relief. I will be in court on Thursday trying to have them give me some kind of relief. Here is my biggest argument, and I hope this is clear to you and all your listeners. Me being on the ballot causes no harm because if people want to not vote for me, they cannot do so. They did so in droves in 2018. So I have proof of this. You can just not vote for me. But if I'm on the ballot, then there are two things happening. One, I'm having conversations with you and others that are about solving issues. You cannot find that in the current back and forth Democrats and Republicans. Again, whether you like what I'm saying, hate it, think it's smart, think it's awesome, think it's terrible, you have to have a conversation with me. We have to talk about fixing the state. That's critical. And the second piece is there are literally millions of New Yorkers who don't want just the left-right option. Why would you disenfranchise those? And there are over 500,000 who vote third party every single election. Why would you disenfranchise those 500,000 New Yorkers? I'm not fooling myself. I know the odds of my victory are slim. I get that. But I want to save my state. I don't want to move. Everywhere I go, people are saying how bad it is, where we're going to leave. We've got crime. We got Buffalo shooting. We got nothing but bad things. And all I get from the right is more law. And from the left is more money. These haven't worked. They aren't working. Let's talk about real solutions. If we don't have a third party, that will never happen.
So though, are you continuing the petitioning process while you pursue these legal 100%. Challenges?
100%. We are right now on track right now. It's costing me over six figures to make this happen. Think about that for a second. If you don't have six figures, you can't be on the ballot. And I already have literally 200 volunteers out there running around, and I'm already polling at 6% in a more recent Zogby poll. I polled at 6%. So I'm already popular enough in New York State where I have 6% for a third party, which is amazing for a third party. And I've got money that I've been able to raise, and I've got volunteers, And I'm struggling. I'm on target right now to make about 45,000-50,000 right now. That's not enough because the Democrats, Republicans will challenge me because they don't win a ballot. And they will literally send people to try to throw out my signatures. So I've got to work hard to break that to get about 55 or 60,000. And that's what I'm working towards right now.
Well, we've been speaking with Larry Sharp. He is the potential gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarian Party. Larry, thank you so much for making the time. And if you do end up on the ballot, I hope we can chat again in the future.
Have a good one, my friend.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.